Detektor FM. Zurück zum Thema.
This is N99, the podcast from Detektor FM, directly from the Arts Plus in Frankfurt at the Book Fair 2017. And at this year's edition of the Arts Plus, there's also one topic concerning museums. Diane Drube just gave a talk at the runway of the Arts Plus from We Are Museums about 5 scenarios, how museums can maybe change in the year 2030. And we will talk about this with Diane Drube and with Stein Olaf Henriksen. He's director of the Munch Museum in Oslo in Norway. And I'm very glad that you both are here talking to us in this podcast. Hello, Diane Drube and Stein Olaf Henriksen.
Hello, thank you. I'm very glad indeed. It's been like an all day dedicated to artificial intelligence and to the future of museum today. So I think my talk was perfectly right on time.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. It's very interesting to be here now because it's a really, really big transition in the museum world, certainly connected to the digitalization and other aspects. So this is the right place to be in order to discuss with important people and interesting people about the future. So that's very good.
Let's head right into the topic. The museum in the year 2030, you're talking about it in your talk, what does it look like?
Well, it actually describes 5 different models, and I believe each museum should have its own personality and actually like pick a little bit from these 5 models to find its own model. But I see a museum as a really agent of transformation, like agent of transformation of our society, of where we think, where we create economy, where we feel, where we experience spirituality. So it's at the heart of evolution of humankind, to my mind. So I think that's the first description, and I will try to go a little bit try to summarize that. And I think that the museum is already a really strong matrix of the future, like fed by the past, and this is why we can actually create a place that is like so unique and following and guiding humankind into different evolutions.
Let's dig a little bit deeper in your talk. What are the 5 scenarios that you just mentioned?
So I just did like 30 minutes of talk. I will try to make it very short. The first one is a museum as an activist. So a museum that have a say, a voice, something really to debate, and a museum that will actually create a place where people can feel free to say something. That's the first one. The second one is a museum entrepreneur. So we believe that museums should actually change the way they work, change their mindset, and get inspired by the startup and entrepreneur mindset. Museums should finally have a really strong leadership, a very strong identity and strategy, being able to have this creativity also, constantly rethinking where are they going and not writing anything inside the marble, I would say. We also have another one that is a Museum Medina. So that's much more about the place itself and what you can do between some walls or not. So if people have been to a Medina, it's this place where you get totally lost, you get totally inspired, you get scared. And I actually went to a Medina in Morocco like 3 weeks ago, and I was following this little cat because I really believed at one point that this cat was showing me something. And we were 3 of us from the We Are Museum team like following this cat. So Medina, the Museum Medina is this place where you can find people that you will never think about. You can meet different kind of spirits, different kind of intelligence. You can actually try new things. You can have this kind of knowledge or emotion that you will never think about, or you think you actually lost. This kind of memory, like I was saying before, Munch is much more than art. Is also a man, and everything that he did is actually like inside our memory, inside the universal memory in different ways. But we can talk about that later. Another one is how many I did? Like 3 or 4? 4 already. Thank you. The last one is a museum as an agent of transformation, but a very spiritual transformation, a place where we can go to feel good with ourselves, a place where we can think, a place where we can feel in silence, a place where we can get inspired, or maybe access transcendence, or maybe evolve and access another stage of consciousness. So
sounds like a church.
Indeed, indeed. But we are all having churches inside of ourselves. You know, this little corner where you go just before sleeping, this is our church. And thinking that a museum will be this place where you feel good to go, that's really very priceless. In this society that is overwhelmed by so many content and so many migration and so many conflict, we need to feel good somewhere. So yes, it's like a church, but our own.
Mr. Hendrickson, could you connect to these ideas, to these scenarios with the museum?
Certainly, I think we can connect to all of these ideas. And I think a museum or a cultural institution in general should be participating in solving the society's most important questions and problems and challenges. So we really need to be in the core of the development of society. And so forth, we will be, of course, bringing up important questions. And I think in the art of Edvard Munch, which is our most central artist, we have a bigger collection, but we have also 28,000 works by Edvard Munch. So I think he's dealing with all the questions in life that human beings confront. And not only the more darker sides that most people are acquainted with, but also lighter sides of life. So through his art, we are able to discuss with people basically how it is to be a human being, how it is to be in the transitional age that we are living in right now. And of course, the museum, cultural institution also have to change all the time because things are changing around us. People's behavior, expectations, everything is changing, so we have to change. But on the other hand, we also have a new museum being built, which is five times bigger than what we have today. So that means we have to redesign our organization. We have to redesign how we build our expertise and competence and capacity. So we are really in a transitional phase. And I think when it comes to the possibilities of digitalization, we have also the venue to reach out to the rest of the world. Munch means a lot to people everywhere in the world. In fact, most people know The Scream. Most people know a lot of other works as well. And through that, we can reach people everywhere. And we can also have, of course, physical exhibitions some other places around the world. We can certainly bring our values, Munch's values, and our, let's say, Western democratic values around the world and discuss how we can develop the world into some place where it's more interesting to be, and it's a better world, in fact, if you want to use grand words. But small steps forward, and I think I'm agreeing totally that art is a very strong tool. It creates differences and changes in human lives, and we'll certainly be very much aware of the responsibility of running an art institution in that sense.
You already mentioned the big transformation that you're in the middle of. Building a new museum, thinking about the new perspective, maybe also about 2030, the museum, what does it look like? What should it look like? What should it do? What are your ideas of redesigning the museum?
Well, first of all, I think that we need to change the organization in order to build an expertise that can deal with what we are facing right now. Because in the museum world, we need a lot of time to do the planning. If we do an exhibition somewhere in the world, we need maybe 5 years to do that planning. And this is a very, very slow physical operation.
It's like the automotive industry.
Exactly. And for us, we need to also move fast on some subjects. So we really need to have that flexibility of while we are thinking very far ahead, very strategically, very kind of overhead, then we also need to be day-to-day work and be very, very flexible in how we deal with the changes and expectations of society and peoples around us. So that's a big challenge, and that's something we really have to, I think, create an organization that are able to do just that. And that means new kinds of expertise involved in every process, every discussion, every reflection that we have as a museum.
This sounds to me like a tremendous task. You talked about being like a startup, and you say it's like the automotive industry. So how could we do this together then?
Well, I was actually thinking about what you just said, like asking different people having different expertise. Are you thinking about, sorry, I'm actually not replying, I'm asking a question. Are you thinking about working with totally different people, like not only curators and museum people, but also maybe working with someone that is working in a club or someone that is working in a bakery? Or just like, are you thinking about going really outside of the museum box? Because this is like this startup mindset, like having totally a team coming from different horizon and creating something very unique thanks to these differences, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And we, of course, want to be very open and inviting for people to come to us with their reflections and ideas. But also, I would say that in all the strategic processes we have done now for the new museum, which is continuously happening, we invite kids, we invite young people from the universities. We have a lot of universities and high schools in Norway now working with our problems, meeting us, coming to our museum, and we are also going out to them. But in addition to that, we work with people from the tourist industry, from the private company industry, from other cultural institutions, and from the people in the street. We try to invite people in, which is a very, very different background, to tell us how can we be relevant to these groups as a cultural institution, as a venue for, let's say, ideas and opinions and discussions and reflection again. So I think it's very important that we also as a public institution needs to be very, very open. And I think what another interesting aspect to the museum world now is that we can always digitalize and go public with our collection. A lot of museums is doing that, and we are also doing that. I think what is more interesting, or even at least additional interesting, is the discussion that we have backstage, the conflicts, the different expertises, the different groups. We don't only have curators and conservators. We also have economic people. We have almost 50 different crafts in our museum. So it's a lot of expertise in a wide range internally. And in the collision with the people from outside world, we need to find out how we can be relevant to the society and relevant to the changes that we need our society to go through. I can give you one example. In Norway, when I grew up in the 70s, I remember very well as a teenager, I saw the first colored person. Now, in the primary schools in Oslo, 60% of the kids are from immigrant background. It's an enormous transposition happening over maybe only one generation. And how do we deal with that? How do we deal with all these new cultures, all these new ideas, all these new backgrounds, new values, if you like? How could we deal with that? So that's an enormous question. And this question is in the center of a cultural institution's way of thinking. How can we participate in bringing all this together, bringing all this into the future, and trying to merge and create something really, really positive and really, really optimistic when so many people around us are talking about this as problems and challenges and important aspects. We would like to turn it around and say this is valuable, this is important for society, this is going to happen anyway, and we need to relate to it. So I think there are so many things happening around us now where we cannot only be, as you ask, ourselves. We need to be part of a much wider discussion and bring people in and bring ourselves out. So all my colleagues, which are 120 people, needs to be out there. Also the backstage people need to meet our sponsors, our visitors, our kids, our youngsters. They need to be out there in society and be part of the streams and the tendencies that people are concerned with.
To me, this, let's say, organizational or institutional change sounds like a tremendous task. Would you say it's the biggest challenge for a museum to adapt to like new technologies, new positions in the society, to new challenges in the society, almost like a political position?
Well, I actually believe that we were and we are still part of this big area of collecting. Like, we want to preserve, we want to collect, we want to take pictures, we want to documentate everything. And this is, of course, very necessary because we are creating the universal heritage that everyone will be connected to in few I don't know exactly when, but in the future. But what is very important now is that we are talking to humans, we are talking to people, and museums cannot only talk about the past anymore, they cannot only talk about ghosts, but they should talk to people and really learn from, for instance, the life of Munch and everything that he did to give something back to the new generation. And of course it could be very political, trying to be very objective, that's not always easy, but if you give the voice to people, and if you actually, and if your voice is to give the voice, this is already beautiful, and you don't have to be too political, and you can actually have access a beautiful objectivity. So I would say, just by really opening, really and truly opening up, not only with few programs, you will be able to give this space, this safe space for people where they can really evolve and get transformed. But it's, I think it's what you are trying to draw. We are starting, you are really starting to imagine a museum that is inspired by one man for the men, and that's very beautiful, very beautiful.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think that, you know, art history is only interesting if it's relevant for the contemporary people. And I think Munch and other artists as well, even if it's historic, it's still relevant in many senses. And also I think art is important because art history and art today is also a collection of everything that humankind has been thinking of, reflecting on, being challenged with, having to deal with. So it's like a huge library of everything that is experienced in our history. And artists have a way of commuting this to another time, to another part of society, another geographical area, if you like, another sociologic area. So I think we just had to make all our art and art history being relevant to today's people. And art is very important because art is going to make your life more interesting, to be in connection, in relation to this enormous library, is going to give you the possibility to have a better life in many ways, not only on the reflection and your ideas, but also in the experience of all this wonderful thinking that has been happening throughout the years.
Stein Olav Henriksen, director of the Munch Museum in Oslo, and Diane Drube from We Are Museums, thank you very much for being on this podcast N99 from the Arts Plus at the Frankfurt Book Fair 2017.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you.
Thank you. Very inspiring conversation. Thank you.
Detektor FM kann man übrigens auch live hören. Wir senden rund um die Uhr ein Online-Radio mit Kopf, Herz und Haltung. Im Wortstream mischen wir wissenswerte Themen mit moderner Popmusik und der Musikstream ist der perfekte Tagesbegleiter mit frischer Musik.